In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jeremiah, that's a word that we don't hear much anymore. It's an old-fashioned word. It's defined as a lament often filled with harsh invective against the state of society. It's usually a moralistic text or a speech that denounces society for its wickedness and prophesies its downfall. Although we don't hear the word Jeremiah very often anymore, I suspect we've heard some speeches that might well qualify for that descriptor. Whether it's somebody who's saying that the nation's falling apart because of political leadership, either side of the aisle says that, or that the younger generation is lazy and immoral, or that religious institutions are hypocritical because they have not done enough for or against, and now you can fill in that blank. Whatever. If you hear a speech like that that's full of melodramatic language and doom and gloom, it's a Jeremiah. The word, of course, comes from the prophet Jeremiah. We heard a little bit from Jeremiah, the beginning of Jeremiah's story. Sarah read it for us from the Old Testament. He was noted for bringing God's word to the people who had forgotten what a good relationship with the Lord was supposed to look like. And his laments are both poetic and horrific because he wants the people to understand just how big a mess they've gotten themselves into and how they better shape up. Suffice to say that the book of Jeremiah is a hard and sometimes frightening read. You don't want to read it right before bedtime. But it's funny, it's in stark contrast to the story of Jeremiah's beginnings as a prophet that we heard this morning. Jeremiah is, by his own description, just a boy, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. And God tells him that there's work to be done. God says that he has known that Jeremiah will be a prophet since before his birth. He's known him in his mother's womb while he was being formed into the human being that he would become. Now, I want you to imagine being a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy and hearing God's voice saying, "I've got a plan for you. I've been planning for you to be a prophet since before you were even born." A little bit intimidating, right? Predictably, Jeremiah says, "Who, me? I don't think I can do that. I haven't got the skills." And God says, "Don't say that. I'll give you the words." And God touches his mouth and the words are there, and they would continue to be there through all of the difficult times when Jeremiah had to deliver a hard message that the people needed to hear. Jeremiah was tapped on the shoulder by God at the same age that we confirm a lot of our young people. You guys were confirmed when you were about 12 years old, right? Can you imagine if you heard the voice of God in that moment? Whoa! A little bit intimidated. Now, we have confirmed a whole bunch of young people in this church over the years. We haven't yet seen any signs that any of them are intended to be prophets in the vein of Jeremiah, but you never know, because Jeremiah didn't really start stirring things up until he was a grown-up. So there's always possibilities. But it certainly raises the question, if God has known me since I was still in my mother's womb, what did he see me becoming? question, let me know. What was his plan for me? Am I supposed to be a prophet or a teacher or a caregiver or a healer, a fighter for justice, a calming influence in troubling situations? Who did God envision me to be? It's a scary question. But the reality is sometimes we only discover it over time. Some of us it takes longer than others. Isabella Bomfrey was born in the late 1700s in upstate New York. She was a slave. But because that part of New York was all Dutch-speaking at that time, she was a Dutch-speaking slave. She was sold along with a flock of sheep in the slave market when she was just 9 years old. And her new master was a cruel one who beat her daily. Subsequently, she was resold several times. And although the state of New York technically abolished slavery in the early 1820s, she was not set free by her master. At that point, she had had children. He did not want to lose the children. She escaped with her youngest, her infant daughter, in 1826. And she hid out. She stayed with a kind white family until the new emancipation law truly took effect so she could truly be free. And during this time, she became a devout Christian. She also learned that one of her children, her son Peter, had been sold illegally to an owner in Alabama. And she successfully sued for her son's freedom. It was the first time that a black woman had won a case in court against a white man. In the 1840s, she heard God's call. As a result of that call, she changed her name to Sojourner Truth, abandoning the name that reminded of her of her period of enslavement, and she took on a new one. And she said to anyone who asked, "The Spirit calls me, and I must go." She was a Methodist at that point and became a Methodist missionary to other people of color. She was also active in the abolitionist movement to end slavery, which of course still existed in much of the United States. And as time progressed, she also focused on women's rights. It was a pretty radical notion at that time. She spoke powerfully of the fact that women had worked just as men had worked, and that women held a particular place of power and influence because they bore children. She was most famous for a speech entitled, "Ain't I a Woman?" where she talked about exactly that subject. In later years, she changed denominations. She became an Adventist, what we would now call Seventh-day Adventists. But she continued to fight through her very powerful voice. Supposedly, it was very deep and rich. But she fought with that great voice for equal rights for people of color and for women. And she, like Jeremiah, may have often felt like she did not have the energy or the words. One time she came to a speaking engagement. She arrived late. The roads had been difficult. And she was really exhausted when she finally got to the place where she was to speak. And she's said to have announced, "Children, I have come here like the rest of you to hear what I have to say." She knew that more often than not, it was God's words coming through her, not words of her own invention. Because that's the thing about prophets. Their job is to speak God's message, to call the people to attention, to fix broken relationships. And they are often merely the conduit for what God needs us to hear. A Sojourner Truth, then called Isabella Bomfrit, stood on the slave block at the age of 9, speaking only Dutch. Did she have an inkling of God's plan for her? I doubt it. She would have been frightened, leaving her parents in the only home she had ever known, not knowing who would buy her or what he would expect of her. She would have wondered if he paid that $100 for the flock of sheep and she was just something a little extra thrown in, or whether it was the other way around. What would have happened if she had heard God's voice in that moment saying, "Isabella, you will be a prophet"? Her reply most likely would be a variant of Jeremiah's, "Who, me?" And yet she became a prophet, and how she prophesied, Jeremiah adds, to be sure. It was a process of discovery of her call over time that led Sojourner Truth to be a prophet. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels to me like God is keeping who we're called to be a great big secret. Certainly took me a while to figure it out. And we've got to sort of experiment and guess until we figure it out, see what feels right. But even in the midst of that process, we remember God's words. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." Now, at some point, it becomes clear what God has in mind for us. And it's usually something of a surprise because God does have a sense of humor. But when we share our understanding, our revelation with others, they usually respond with, "Well, of course, we could see that. How come you didn't realize that?" Even if we say, "Who, me?" when God reveals his plans for us, others may have already recognized the gifts God has given us within us. So who are you? What is God calling you to do? Is there something that tugs at your heart, that urges you to do some unknown thing, that demands your attention? Maybe God saying, "This is my word to you." So go ahead, say, "Who, me?" Then say, "Help me, Lord." And then go and do it. God's put what you need within you already. Go and do it. Amen.